We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. Throws it down. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Special edition of Knicks Fan TV Live presented by Manscaped. CP the franchise here checking in. We got the panel here of JD, CK2K, and special guest Keith Smith. He's covered the Celtics for the Celtics blog since 2016. A big time NBA writer, big time on NBA Twitter, and a capologist as well, man. And for tonight's show, first we're going to preview the Knicks versus Celtics big matchup at the Garden on October 20th. We are 2 days away. And then the second half of the show, we'll get into our final preseason thoughts and have a little fun, do a little season award prediction. So, Keith, how you feeling, man? Thanks for joining us on Knicks Fan TV.
Oh, thanks for having me. I feel like I need a two initial nickname.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm left out, man.
We'll call you KS, man.
We'll call you KS. So you can call me that.
Yeah.
I got to say, CP2, man, two of the posters behind you, I have two of those posters. I have the Patrick Ewing one and the Starks dunk.
Nice.
Poster.
Nice.
So they, unfortunately, my wife mixed a lot of that stuff, and those are wrapped up and in storage. But
oh, man. They're
still in my heart and spirit. Patrick Ewing was my guy, man.
Nice.
I love Patrick.
Nice. Did you grow up a Knicks fan or more of a Patrick Ewing fan?
No, so I grew up just south of Boston. So I grew up a Celtics fan.
But okay.
My dad actually worked with Patrick Ewing's dad.
Interesting.
For a while, so there's
in Boston, right? Because they're from Boston.
In Boston, yeah. My parents have this picture of Patrick Ewing holding a little tiny me in like the palm of his hand back in the day. So I was a huge Patrick Ewing fan, and during those years, right, where like the Starks dunk, the Celtics were down. So I was pulling for my guy Patrick to get a championship out of that run.
And oh, just, man.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting story and certainly timely as we talk about these two teams that, you know, a lot of the prognosticators have finishing around similar marks in the East. But we'll get to that in a little bit. On the Celtics, they finished last year with a first round knockout versus the Nets. They switched coaches, Brad Stevens out, Udoka in, made a couple of offseason acquisitions. They had Schroeder, the return of Al Horford, and his Kanter coming back. Talk a little bit about the Celtics roster and, you know, what your expectations are this season.
Yeah, last year was a mess for the Celtics in really every possible way. They missed more games due to COVID than any other team in the league. They then had injuries on top of that, like everybody else does. But just when you add those on top of all the COVID misses, they never really had their starting group together. I think the most they were together was for three games in a row. And that's just, you know, that was never going to work out for them. Kemba was on, they couldn't play back-to-backs. As we know, in the shortened season, it felt like there was nothing but back-to-back games. So he was out like every other day. And then they just, they never really synced up. Nothing really kind of worked the way they hoped it would. And it was just a mess for them. So this offseason, with Danny Ainge retiring and moving on, and Brad Stevens moving into that role, hiring Ime Udoka, and then Stevens, I think, kind of sent a message of what he thought about the roster. Danny Ainge had given him that last year, because he immediately moved on from Kemba, brought Al Horford back. He made a bunch of other swaps. The big thing was to add some veteran depth to this team, because they were overly reliant on young players. And that sounds good until you get into spots where you really need them to play a lot. And then you're kind of going to struggle, because those young guys are just not ready to step forward. So now this year, they've got some good vets in there. They've got some good balance. They still have the kids who are kind of, now they're going to have to fight and earn those minutes versus being handed them right out of the gate. And I think that's going to help. A couple of their guys look much better through the course of the preseason than we saw at any point last year. So I think that's a good thing. So overall, it's a deeper team. You still have Tatum and Brown, so you got to feel pretty good when that's your starting point as a roster. And I think they're looking forward to having a much better season this year.
You know, the Stevens and Udoka thing, the Stevens thing was very interesting to me. You know, his move from the bench to the front office, he was once thought to be kind of the guy that was going to, you know, usher in the new era of the Celtics and a coach that they were going to build a team around and build with, you know, a guy that would grow with the influx of talent. And then he moves into the front office, and Stevens, being known as a defensive head coach, goes with Udoka, who's also known as a defensive mind. So where do you feel like Udoka will differ from Stevens in terms of his coaching philosophy and approach?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing already right out of the gate is he's really holding guys accountable. They suspended Marcus Smart for a preseason game because he missed a team flight. It's not that this is like a remarkable thing, right? I mean, you probably should be punished if you missed the team flight, but it was – a lot of times in the preseason, something like that, they might let that slide and be like, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's a preseason. Mm-hmm. Nope, suspended him right away. Cost him a little bit of money. He had in the game, their last preseason game against Miami, he has been preaching all preseason, I don't want you getting distracted yelling at the referees. I want you to play through it. Let me talk to the refs. Let me handle that. And Grant Williams started barking at the ref after an offensive foul call against him. Mm-hmm. The Heat inbounded to Bam Adebayo, pushed it right up the floor, and he got a layup. And Udoka immediately called a timeout, took Grant Williams out of, you know, berated him on the court, and then took him out of the game and sat him down. So it's a different kind of path. But one of the things that especially Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, kind of being the three core guys, I guess, if you will, had said was they wanted a coach who was going to coach them hard, hold people to account, you know, hold them accountable, push on them, really try to get the most out of them. And it's tough. Those guys, especially Mark Smart, he's never had another coach but Brad Stevens. So that's been the only voice in his ear his entire career. So it was time to have somebody a little bit different. And this was the guy that those three primary guys, Tatum, Brown, and Smart, they wanted Ime. That was the guy they wanted. They'd all worked with him on USA Basketball at the World Cup a couple years ago, which feels like it was a decade ago now. Mm-hmm. With everything that's happened in the last 2 years. But yeah, that's the guy they wanted. So I think you're going to see that offensively, still kind of figuring that out. It's hard to draw a whole heck of a lot system-wise from the preseason, but he's really preaching ball movement. He doesn't want a lot of isolation stuff. Doesn't want a lot of single action plays. He wants a lot of ball and player movement. So we've seen some of that happen. Their first preseason game looked pretty good. The ball is popping all over the place. And then defensively, I think they're going to get back to being that switch everything group, where it's really five versatile guys who can hold their own, because they tried to get rid of those weak spots in their defensive grouping and really get back to a group that can get after on that end. So I think they're going to be a really good defensive team, and then the offense will evolve as the year goes along.
You know, talking about the two guys that they lost, who the Knicks picked up in Kemba and Fournier, you know, first with Kemba, you know, it was striking to hear when Stevens talked about the type of team that he wanted. Obviously, he emphasized building around Jason and Jaylen, and bringing in guys, he said, that would, you know, accentuate their strengths. So from a Kemba perspective, you know, forget the contract, because I know the contract was quite sizable, but, you know, what did you see there from a fit standpoint that made Steven so quick to send him to OKC?
Yeah, I don't think I go back to Kemba's first year with the Celtics before he got hurt. The fit was basically seamless, because what they were looking for at that time was Kyrie Irving. And I always say this, in a vacuum, Kyrie Irving is a better player than Kemba Walker. I don't know anybody who would argue that, but basketball's not played that way. It matters the other four guys on the floor with you at the same time. And Kyrie's a ball dominant guy who's going to do a lot with the ball in his hands. And they were trying to let Tatum and Brown kind of have that freedom to grow into their space and to really become those guys. So part of what drew them to Kemba was, and everyone will still say this to a man, he's an all-time teammate. Nobody has a bad thing to say about that guy. Everybody loves Kemba. And the idea was off the ball, he would fit in better because he's a pretty good off-ball shooter. He's pretty good with his movement and those kind of things. And he's also a guy who's just, he's not going to be demanding of the ball on every trip, but late in games when you need him to do his thing, he's going to be there for you. And it worked out great in that first year and worked out pretty good in the bubble. And then last season, it just never got to where it needed to be because he was missing every other game. So you'd play pretty well with him, then he'd be out for a game. Then he'd come back and it wouldn't look so good. And it just was constantly choppy and messy. And it just never really, you know, fully hit the way they wanted it to. So moving on from him, I think it was just the contract was the number one part of it, obviously. But the basketball fit, I think, was more about his availability than any fit on the floor on the offensive end. On the defensive end, I think Stevens wanted to get back to playing with more size and more switchability and not having that kind of vulnerable guy on the court that you have to kind of work around, that you have to do with Kemba at times.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a second, because I'm very concerned about that, looking at him as a starting point guard for the Knicks. On Fournier's free agency outlook, you know, it seemed like it came down to between Boston and the Knicks almost at the 12th hour or the 13th hour.
Yeah, and the Celtics wanted to keep him, and by all accounts, he wanted to stay in Boston. Being here in Orlando, I go to a ton of Magic games and cover the Magic games when I'm there. So I've gotten to know Evan a little bit. I wouldn't by any means say he knows who I am, but I think I've gotten a little good sense of his mindset. And he is somebody who he didn't really want to be traded from Orlando to begin with. I think he wanted to stay with the Magic ideally, but I think he realized that this whole thing's breaking up. It's, you know, they're just going a different direction. They're tearing this down. So going to Boston, I think his hope was, all right, this is where I'll be now, and I'll sign here long-term. And then when the Knicks came in with the offer they came in with, and this isn't a way for me to take a cheap shot at the Knicks here and say, man, what an overpay, what a bunch of idiots. Cause I think it's a perfectly good contract. It just wasn't a contract Boston could do. Not with the way the rest of their cap sheet was lining up. It just wasn't going to make sense for them. It was going to make them too expensive and inhibit them from being able to make other moves down the line. So at that point, you got to kind of look at it and say, all right, we're losing a guy, but we got to move on, you know, in a different direction, because we can't be tying up, you know, this much money in three wings. And then they knew they wanted to re-sign Smart, and it just would have become really, really messy in an extremely expensive team. And they're willing to be expensive and pay a lot of money if they're contending for a title, but they don't want to be wildly expensive if we're third in the East. And I think they felt like we can get back to third in the East without being wildly expensive. Let's go a different direction. But the Knicks got two good ones there. I think those two guys are going to help them quite a bit.
Now with Boston, it starts with that two-headed monster in Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Now, Brown went down with COVID, so it didn't really have much of a preseason. But with Tatum, I mean, you know, coming off of an outstanding year last year, 27-7, almost 40% from three. He went into the Olympics, got the gold medal with Team USA. He's going to be a problem for us to contend with, man. I just feel like, you know, he's gotten bigger. He's put on size. He's almost like a 3-4 tweener. RJ's going to have his hands cut out for him. But, you know, from what you've seen from the preseason so far, how do you see Boston utilizing Tatum?
Yeah, they're going to ask him to do more playmaking than he's ever done before. They want to run a lot of stuff through him. But that's not necessarily – they don't want to do it. I like to call it James Harden style, where it's get the ball, take 100 dribbles, and then you're going to make the play. They want it to be, we popped it around. Now it came to you with 15 on the shot clock. You're going to set something up for a good look for yourself, which he can almost always get, or, you know, make a play for somebody else and get that going. And that was part of adding Al Horford. That was part of putting Marcus Smart in the starting five. Those two guys are excellent ball movers and passers. They've got some really good screeners. So they're trying to make it easier on him to do that. Cause I always say this with a guy like Jason Tatum. All Jason Tatum's been told his entire basketball life is go score. You're our best player. Go make it happen. Yeah. And then we get into the NBA and it's like, cool, you did that your first 2 years. Now get a bunch of assists and make a bunch of plays. And I feel like they get to a point where it's hard for some guys because it just goes against their nature. And I think that's where he's at. But he definitely is bulked up a little bit. He's looking a little bigger. He talked a lot about the Olympics experience, especially spending time and working with Kevin Durant, which is, to me, that's a little scary, I think, for the rest of the league because he's got a little bit of Durant his game where he's got that size and that length and he's got that rise on his jumper where he just can't get to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, excuse me, I'm getting all emotional talking about Jason Tatum. I think he's talked about he wants to get to the basket more, finish better, and draw more free throws, which that's like music to Celtics fans' ears because that's the one area where offensively he seems to have struggled a little bit. He got rid of it. He used to get stripped a lot on drives. Mm. He's now getting the ball, but then he wasn't finishing. And he talked about he was putting too much English on the ball. And I've never seen a guy rim out more layups in my life. Mm. So it was just tough. So it's now he's talking about, I want to get downhill. I want to finish with strength versus trying to avoid the contact and get the ball in the rim. If I get fouled, I get fouled. So all around, I think he's going to have an absolutely monster offensive season. It wouldn't surprise me if he's pushing 30 points per game this year.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree on that. And JD, how do you see us matching up with this guy, man? Is it going to be RJ on Tatum? Or you see Fournier? It's going to be a tough matchup for us, man. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking they're going to put RJ on him. They're probably going to put RJ on him just because if RJ is going to be the player that is going to be assigned, you know, the toughest matchup. I mean, he talked in his interview about getting stronger because of that. So it looks like he's mentally preparing to play that role. When I look at the Tatum-Brown tandem, Tatum, to me, has a more complete arsenal offensively. Mm-hmm. He's a more elite shot creator. So I just think that he can control the game a little bit more offensively than Jaylen Brown. So I think they put RJ on Tatum, and then you mix and match with Jaylen Brown. You obviously start Fournier on him, and see how that goes, mm-hmm. and see how the game goes. But it's going to be a fun matchup because I think it is going to be RJ versus Tatum, and it's going to be something to watch.
It's definitely going to be fun to watch, man. And I think as Tibbs was met with the media today and talked about how, you know, they've really been trying to push RJ into that two-way player role, and he's been accepting that. And so it's going to be interesting to see the two Duke Blue Devils going at it. RJ put some size on as well. So we'll see how he fares there because I think, as Keith said, you know, Tatum's going to be in attack mode trying to get to the basket. And then, you know, once they have him in the post, it's going to be interesting to see how the Knicks' three-point defense fares because Celtics have put some better floor spacing out there with Smart and Horford if he's playing. And Keith will get to that in a minute. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Knicks' rotations fare on Tatum. CK, what's your thoughts on the matchup with the two J's?
Man, I think the matchups are going to be interesting because JD brought up that point that I was thinking. I'm like, okay, yeah, we put RJ on Tatum, and I think that'd be great, like you were saying, the Duke showdown. But then I'm thinking about it, like who we really putting on Jaylen Brown? You know, I understand, we're probably most likely going to have to go with Fournier, but I don't know. And Keith, you'd probably be the one to answer on this one. Who's starting at the four? And then where's Julius Randle matchup? I think it's just going to be it's going to be fun seeing that tug of war of the not matchup issue, but of what the matchups are going to look like in this game. Because a lot like us, they're playing around with a lot of different rotations, a lot of lineups and stuff like that. And I feel like we're going to be doing something similar. So, of course, just looking at the game, I'm looking forward to seeing RJ Barrett versus Jason Tatum. But realistically, to your point just now, CP, Tibbs is going to be using him to be that two-way guy. There's probably going to be some switches where he's going to be on some assignments guarding Tatum as much as he's guarding Jaylen Brown. So I it's going to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to see what the answer is going to be.
Keith, what's your gut telling you injury report-wise? You know, Brown and Horford have been out in the COVID protocol, and what do you think about their potential starting lineup for Wednesday night's matchup?
Yeah, I don't think Horford's going to go. It sounds like that he's probably going to miss that one. Doesn't sound like he'll be cleared in time to play. Brown, they've left it a little ambiguous, but they think last we heard that he would be back. It sounds like he was he's been asymptomatic, so it sounds like he's good to go. They even mentioned that they've been working virtually with the coaches and trainers. So I think he'll be good to go. So that's where it gets interesting matchup-wise, because – my guess is, just based off the way the preseason has gone, they'll go small then to open, and they'll put Romeo Langford in the starting group, mostly because that's going to force Julius Randle to guard somebody on out on the perimeter, because they're not going to put a Grant Williams out there, I don't think, to open the game, and kind of then that gives the Knicks an out, because then they can kind of let Randle roam and sag off him and kind of do his thing when he's not involved in the immediate action defending it. I think they're going to make him have to defend point of attack quite a bit, and then we'll see. But they'll go big at times. They'll play both the Williams together. We'll see what happens with Enes Kanter, how much he works in there. He's been playing some. My guess is they'll try to make that as against second units only when they can for probably 10 minutes or so. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. But they'll, without Al Horford, they're going to go small quite a bit, and they'll just they're going to force the Knicks to pick, you know, how do you want to do that?
And it might have Julius on Tatum. Who knows?
Exactly.
If they put Tatum at the four, that could be dangerous.
Yeah, I my guess is they'd probably put him on Brown. It seems to be that's the way teams play it. They tend to put the four on Brown a little bit more, but that's starting to get pretty dangerous too, because Brown's become such a good shooter, and his first step and attack to the basket in a straight line drive, it's just really tough to keep him from getting where he wants to go. I would maybe, and this is just very anti-Tibbs, like, he doesn't do this, but you almost want to bend it and be like, put Randle on Romeo Langford, and just if you lose because Romeo Langford hits 5 3-pointers on you tip your cap and you say, we'll see you next time. But yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting. And I think why the Celtics are comfortable going small, is Brown and Tatum are such strong defenders. They've been defending bigger guys their whole careers. So they're not going to be it. I'm not saying if Randle goes inside that they're shutting them down or anything, but they're not going to be, worried by that. They're just going to, stick with it, do the best they can, challenge them, try to keep them uncomfortable, working off the bounce as best they can. They'll steal some of the stuff the Hawks did. Where it's, force him to the spots where he wants. If he wants to take, 15 mid-range jump shots,
settle.
Have at it, my man. We'll go nuts.
Yeah.
With that, because it'll be there. And then having Robert Williams is a completely different kind of guy protecting the rim than what they had last year with Tristan Thompson and Daniel Tice. Williams is just, his shot blocking timing is unreal back there. So you feel a lot more comfortable having him back there. And what they'll probably do, I wouldn't be surprised if they put him on Randle quite a bit. And then they let Tatum or Brown kind of roam off Taj Gibson or whichever big is in the game alongside Randle at the time. But yeah, there's some fun cross
interesting matchups, man. Yeah, very interesting matchups. And Robert Williams was outstanding in that series against the Nets, man. I was very impressed with him. Another area of concern with me is the guards. If they do go small, it seems like Smart is going to get the keys to start most games. How do you see that? How do you see those guards factoring in when you talk about Smart? They picked up Schroeder, and then you have Pritchard, who showed some promise last year as well. I fear, I have some worries about the Knicks at the point of attack, especially their pick and roll defense between Kemba Walker and Derrick Rose. How do you see the Celtics utilizing their point guards?
Yeah, they're going to do everything they can. It wouldn't be surprising to me if they're running a lot of stuff with whoever Randall is guarding as the screener and trying to get those switches that way, or just made the Knicks don't switch a ton because they're trying to ice trap and then, you know, recover. Mm-hmm. But they'll try to force what they can out of those matchups, make Kemba work. They know better than any team in the league what he can and can't do defensively. They're going to probably test him and say, all right, how is that knee feeling? Let's get you moving side to side. Let's get you bouncing off screens from some of these guys. Yeah. Let's really see what that looks like and see if you can hold up. And Smart, he's got to be cautious because he doesn't want to be – when things go really bad for the Celtics is when Marcus Smart's like, I got this. Mm-hmm. You know, here I go. Because that's not – if you're a Knicks fan, that's what you want, right? Every shot he takes is one Tatum and Brown aren't taking.
Yeah.
So you want to be kind of careful. Now, once every 5-6 games – that bites you in the butt because Smart is making everything under the sun, and it's, you know, you're like, well, that's what it is. But again, that's a tip your cap and say, all right, good luck, see you next time. But yeah, it's gonna be fun to see the way they go. And then on the other end of the floor, well, let me finish offense. Sorry, mm-hmm. They'll attack Fournier too, because they know he's not great on the move. The Knicks will have to be kind of cautious with that. It's good that it sounds like they're going to have Mitchell Robinson. Yeah. From everything I've been reading, sounds like Nerlens Noel will be out, but having Robinson there to kind of be that back line guy, mm-hmm. And kind of do that rim protection with Robinson is going to be big because they'll attack Fournier off the bounce with just about anybody in there. And what they're also going to do, which I think can make the Knicks uncomfortable, is on the second unit, they're going to play a lot of dual point guards with Schroeder and Peyton Pritchard together. Mm. And those two guys, especially Schroeder, they'll get downhill, and they're going to force Fournier to guard in space and try to pick up a much smaller guy. And that can get a little tricky for him at times. And then on the other end, Smart's just going to, he's going to do what he does. He's going to, you know, chase Kemba all around. He's going to beat him up a little bit when he's off the ball. He's going to have to really work to get his game going against Smart. It's Marcus Smart early in the season and then late in the season, that's when he's at his best defensively. It's in the middle of the year when he's a little banged up that his defense will occasionally slip a little bit. But I think Smart feels good too, knowing he has Robert Williams back there, that I can gamble a little bit more. I can go for some stuff that the past couple of years I kind of took out of my game because I didn't have my bigs back there protecting the basket for me.
And then you got the battle of the benches, man. You know, the Knicks bench, which has been their strength last year, I think it's going to be another one this year, led by Derrick Rose, quickly Burks, Obi taking another step in his sophomore season, and then maybe Taj. But, you know, I thought the Celtics, when you talk about it, if you're talking about bringing Schroeder off the bench, Pritchard, they brought in Juancho Hernan Gomez, who knows how he plays. Naismith, I thought, played fairly well last year as well. I think the battle of the benches could end up determining the outcome of the game.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun one too. I feel more confident in the consistency of the Knicks bench.
Yeah,
I think same. Tibbs knows what he has every night with those guys. You know you're going to get a good game out of Derrick Rose. You know what Alec Burks is going to give you. You know what your bigs are going to give you there. Where the Celtics, it's a little more hit or miss. It can be really good some nights, and that's generally when the team looks really good. And then there's some nights where it's not there. They're not making shots, and it gets messy. Now that's where having the vets helps, because you've got guys like Schroeder. You've got Josh Richardson's definitely going to play for this team off the bench. You'd be surprised if he started, but I think he'll probably play significant minutes off the bench. We all know what Cantor is at this point, but one thing he definitely is you can still throw the ball to him in the paint, and he's going to get you buckets. He's, you know, that's probably never going to change for him. So, yeah, I feel better about the Boston bench, but I certainly feel a lot more confident that I know what I'm getting out of New York's.
Yeah, same here, man. And like I said, that's led by D. Rose, who finished the preseason outstanding, man. His shot is quite efficient, carrying over from last year. He was excellent playmaking, JD. I think D. Rose is on pace for another outstanding there, probably even sixth man of the year candidate. So the battle of the benches is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and you know, as Keith mentioned, I think, you know, when it relates to the Knicks, I think that's why, you know, in my opinion, the Knicks are set up to have an outstanding season pending, you know, health, because when you look at, you know, the depth of the Knicks compared to other teams in terms of the bench, you know, a lot of these other teams in the Eastern Conference, they have, you know, some players and they have some unknown players. So a lot of teams are going into these games relying a lot on their top players on their rosters. And meanwhile, the Knicks, on some nights, they may be able to, you know, take a game off from Kemba or, you know, or Derrick Rose and still be able to have enough depth to compete for 48 minutes on that night. So to me, the Knicks, you know, and in this matchup, the strength of the Knicks will be the bench. And I think that's why Thibodeau, depending on how the Celtics play it out, whether they play small ball, you know, I think that one of my biggest takeaways from what Keith said earlier was the possibility that the Celtics may play small ball. Well, Tom Thibodeau last preseason game gave you Obi Toppin and Randle at the four and the five. So Tibbs will be able to adjust and manage, but we'll see how, you know, how he attacks game one.
Yeah, see how quickly he goes to that. I don't know, man. Was that just a preseason gamble, or will he actually try to do it in the regular season? We'll see where Tibbs goes there. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We're talking Knicks Celtics preview with Keith Smith, NBA writer, covers the Celtics for Celtics blog. Hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, and make sure you guys are subscribing to the channel. A couple more questions for you, Keith. The cap outlook. So today it was announced that the Knicks picked up the final years of their rookie deal for RJ Barrett, Manuel Quickley, Obi Toppin as well. What did you think about, you know, the Knicks cap outlook and how they use that cap this year to bring back guys like Derrick Rose, Burks, Nerlens Noel, signing Fournier, and then getting Julius Randle on a team friendly deal?
Yeah, their last couple off seasons for the Knicks has been so impressive to me. I thought last year the patience that they showed more than anything else showed it's a new era here with this front office. So we've all seen what's happened in the past with New York. It's we're getting LeBron. Okay, we didn't get LeBron, but we're going to sign the, you know, seventh, eighth, and ninth best guys to LeBron kind of money. It's like, what are we doing? Like, fact. That's how you end up in a mess. You know, and then even the guys who were kind of okay, it was like Amari Stoudemire and those knees. I don't know about that. And that clearly didn't work out so great. And in one of the most awful things anybody's ever said to me was when I called the Joakim Noah contract one of the worst I'd ever seen on the day it was like officially signed, and I had somebody really say not very nice things about me and my family and everything else. And the anecdote to that though is like 2 years ago I got an email and he's like, you blocked me on Twitter because I said this to you. And he's like, and I apologize because you were right. He was horrible. so I give the man a shout out, and I unblocked him for that. But nice. Yeah, it was So this past off season, I think, right, everybody saw all that cap space. You know, there was a point where it looked like they might have $70 million in cap space and started dreaming kind of big. And I think they read the market correctly of there ain't $70 million worth spending on one or two guys out there. And what I liked was you didn't hear we're getting Kawhi, we're getting, you know, player X, we're getting this guy, we're doing this. They would have tried to get a meeting with Giannis had he hit free agency, of course, right? They would have tried to do that. But I think what they really did well was pivoting to, all right, we're not going to spend $35 million apiece on a couple guys, but we're going to spend this money, but we're going to spread it around. And I think what they did was, if you look at their cap sheet right now, there's not a bad contract on it. There's not one you're going to look at and be like, oof, that's rough. Not even a couple years from now. You know, because I'm a believer that Julius Randle will be fine for the duration of that deal. So I think they protected themselves with bonus language in there, right? I think almost every one of their deals came in a couple million lower per year than what it looked like, because they did a really good job using bonuses in there. That's also how they fit all the deals in under the cap. That's just and now I'm gonna cap nerd out for a minute here.
Is that a Brock Oller
yeah thing? He's big on that. I think that's something Leon Rose gets to from the agent side, is, you know, hey, we can still win the press conference and the Woj bomb by saying, you know, player X gets $100 million, but yeah, if it's really 90, like, that's fine too. It's all good, you know. There in their bonuses aren't crazy ones either. It's not like it's, you know, a bunch of stuff tied to winning championships or averaging, you know, insane amounts of points or rebounds. They're all achievable things that guys can get to, but that's really smart cap management, and they did a good job with that. And then on top of that, all the team options at the end with those, because that's how you keep it from turning into a really bad deal. Because if you hit that second year, it's starting to look a little sketchy for Fournier. Well, then you only have one more year left because the last one's a team option you can get out of it. And then kind of the cherry on top of the sundae was Kemba working that bio with OKC, and immediately I want to come home, right? I want to be there. And they, you know, were able to land him, and they were able to land him with what I felt like was money that was probably going to go unused for the most part, and just kind of sit and be, that was going to be their break in case of emergency.
Right.
Fun sitting there at the end of the cap sheet, just, you know, all right, what do we need in season? Makes trades a little bit easier. But when you can get a guy like Kemba, even if he can only go 60 games, that's still going to be 60 pretty good games. Because this team went from, what, about 5 minutes a night of quality point guard play before the Derrick Rose trade last year?
Yes. We allow the Elfrid Payton slander on this channel, so please, yes.
Hey, you're talking to the Orlando guy who was got worked in that trade by Sam Hinkie because they made it known they wanted him. So the Sixers took him even though they had no interest at all. And then Orlando got him. And I was like, this guy's never going to work. He won't shoot. You know, and it's like, we all bag on Ben Simmons all the time because Ben Simmons won't shoot the ball. But at least Ben Simmons is elite rebounder, passer, and defender. And he's 6'10". The thing with Ben Simmons is he's just playing kind of the wrong position. But give me a point guard that's like point guard size that won't shoot, and I'm going to show you an offense that's probably not going to be very good. So we don't need to beat up on EP anymore.
Yeah. But
now what they've got between Kemba, Derrick Rose, Emmanuel Quickley, Alec Burks, if you need him, can slide over and play some point. They run so much of the offense to Randle anyway. You can kind of get a little bit funky there if you need to with those positions. You've got 48 minutes of quality point guard play.
Yep.
Now, Kemba's going to be a big part of that. And I think, too, because of the presence of Rose is going to play his 24 minutes a night. I don't think Kemba's going to play much more than 24 minutes a night either. I think those two guys are going to split it. I'm a massive Emmanuel Quickley guy. He was one of my favorite guys coming into that draft. I have this thing for guards who rebound. And I love the way he gets after the rebounds for a little guy. And then, of course, his shooting is so good, too. And it just bums me out a little bit that he's getting squeezed out of those on-ball point guard reps. But he's still going to play and play off the ball. So he just has to make do with the secondary creator looks that he's going to get. But they did really well this offseason. They protected themselves long-term. The team options for Barrett, Toppin, and Quickley – complete no-brainers. Those are always going to all be picked up. They won't have cap space next year, but that's okay because they've got a pretty good team. So now it's about kind of sustaining. And now it gets really interesting for Leon Rose and crew in the front office, because now it's not easy when you have cap space, but it's easy to sell that to the fans of, hey, we've got this. This is what we're going to do. Now it gets to, how do you go from a lot of teams go from bad to good. How do you go from good to great? That's good way harder. It can be a smaller step, but making that small step is like impossible. I had a good friend of mine who works in the front office say, that's like climbing the last little bit of Everest. You got nothing left. It's really hard. It's really impossible. But when you pull it off, it's all worth it because you got there to the top. And that's it. You've got it. That's what they've got to nail now.
Yeah.
Now you're good. How do you get to be great? But they're positioned with flexibility. Every single one of those contracts is tradable. Mm-hmm. If Damian Lillard becomes available and he wants to go to the Knicks, they can easily get in that sweepstakes because they've got all their picks. They can package that stuff together. You've got some interesting young guys that they could throw into a trade. And then you still have enough left behind to still be a quality team because you're sitting there on a bunch of those mid-range deals. And that's important because what I feel like has happened to the Knicks in the past is it would be, we went out and got the guy, but we traded everything to go get the guy. Like that's Carmelo, right? It took so long to get good. And then by the time they were good, it was like, two seasons maybe. And then it just kind of all
crumbled. No longevity.
So yeah, exactly. They're set up well long term to go a lot of different directions. And that's what this is about. Unless you're the Lakers where you know, hey, we're the Lakers. We can reload this thing every two seasons if we need to. Or you're the Bucks and you've got Giannis or the Mavs and you have Luka. Unless you've got that guy that you can do that with, your best bet is to be as good as you can right now which is what they're doing, but keep all your flexibility and options open moving forward. It can be over the cap and do things through trades, or they can, in a couple of years, if it's not working out, they can get right back into the cap space derby and play that.
Yeah, and you're right. I love the approach that they took this year, because for me, there really wasn't a guy that I was, you know, desperate to have. Now, CK's a Lonzo guy. He was Lonzo all day. Definitely yeah. wanted Lonzo, and I wouldn't have minded the Lonzo deal potentially, but I just felt like this was the right thing to do. You know, keep it running, keep it consistent, some stability, and I think this approach for me is going to depend on the overall growth of their young players. And I think what they're trying to say is they're going to emphasize player development through having quality vets that can help this team win and boost these young players overall, make these young players better. And so even with the Quickly thing, like you said, you know, you kind of hate that they're taking the on-ball reps away from him. I agree with that, but also, you know, he has time to kind of ease into that. Yep. You know, and it seems like from a summer league through preseason, they've been emphasizing that with him. And I think it'll be important because durability with Rose and Kemba will certainly come into question during this 82-game stretch. So Quickly's development as an on-ball point guard, I think, is going to be crucial. And then, you know, you still have Burks as an emergency role. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Sorry to interrupt you, no, but I think with Quickly, too, I mean, what Kemba and Rose are probably going to play 60 games ish, right? Mm-hmm. Each probably is that's probably around there at this point in their careers, and just with their injury history and all that. And the Knicks are in a position where you need them healthy in the springtime. That's you know, yeah, more important. Now, that's kind of anti-Tibbs, right? He's not necessarily that guy, but I think he also learned, I don't need to push these guys when they're not ready anymore. Like that's kind of how things went south on me in Chicago and Minnesota. So hopefully he's learned and that's how Quickly we'll also get. He's going to get his 20 games.
Yeah, embrace the depth.
Play. And yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll work through those guys with that. And I mean, don't get me wrong, right? It's Twitter, so we all make the same stupid jokes and think we're really original and funny, and it's not. But I mean, right, we've all made the Tibbs Bulls jokes of, yeah, you know, getting the band back together. But Taj Gibson, why he's there is because it wouldn't surprise me if he starts opening night, right? Because that's kind of what they've been doing. Facts. He's a guy who can start for you, he's only going to play 15, 20 minutes at most. But he's going to play 15, 20 minutes, be fine. And then when Robinson and Noel are healthy, he's going to be perfectly fine and not play for 20 games. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just kind of, you know, be there as the depth guy. And then one of those guys, you know, rolls an ankle and is out for 2 games. He's right back in there and he does his thing, and you know. And that's what you need out of those guys. That's what you need out of those veteran guys. And too many teams try to hit that home run at the end of their bench. And then it turns into that guy's just, you know, cranky because he's not getting any minutes, he's not getting any run, and he starts getting upset. And you gotta get there with the right kind of veterans who know, you know, what this is all about. And if Derrick Rose has a night where Tibbs is like, hey, I'm gonna give you the night off tonight, I'm gonna play Quickly in the backup point guard role, I don't think Derrick Rose is going storming into Leon Rose's office and be like, this guy's a jerk and get me out of here.
These they got guys a good locker room.
And that's it's really smart to have those kind of veterans, because those are the guys who help build it up. Because I think it got a little forgotten. This is still a pretty young team. Mm-hmm, there's a lot of dudes that are still just kind of still finding their way. Even Julius Randle is still kind of a younger guy and still, you know, figuring this stuff out, figuring out how to be a leader and all those kind of things.
True indeed, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We're talking to Keith Smith of Celtics Blog, previewing the Knicks versus Celtics Wednesday night matchup. We are 2 days away. We got over 1,100 people in the chat. Hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right, last question, Keith. My guy JD here, he has coined the phrase 50 burger. Because he believes that the Knicks will win 50 games. Knicks going undefeated in the preseason has, you know, churned out some sort of euphoria amongst the fan base. Now you're seeing burger emojis flying around the chat, flying around Twitter. You know, it's burgers all over the place. The fans are jumping out the window on this. Vegas has us at the over-under 41 games. Where do you go there? Are you going over or you going under 41 wins?
I'm going to split the difference on you, JD. I'm going over, but I can't go all the way to 50.
Where are you going?
I think they're probably going to be somewhere in the 43 to 45 range.
Okay. I said 46, but yeah, I said 47.
Yeah, I just think the rest of the East got so good. this year. You don't have those walk into a game in mid-January and just walk out with a win just because you're a little bit better anymore. There's really only two of those left in these. That's Orlando. And Detroit.
Yeah.
And maybe Cleveland. Cleveland's trying, right? At least we can say that for them. They're probably still going to be pretty bad, but they're trying to be good. Mm-hmm. So that to me is where it gets a little bit harder to stack wins than it used to be in the East. Now somebody will fall apart, right? The wheels will come off on some team and they won't be very good. But, so you'll be able to pick up wins there. And I kind of think there's a chance that could be Toronto. I just think if Toronto is in a position where they realize, all right, we're not making the playoffs, I think they're going to real quick, you're going to have a lot of his back sore, you know, get a little bit of a sore knee, and they're going to be missing games. And then every other veteran who's not part of the long term is going to be playing somewhere else by the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to just pile up those easy wins in the East. It's not the way it was. And I think for me, Milwaukee and Brooklyn are clearly the class of the conference. I don't think it's really close. I think they're on a tier of their own. And then I think you can give me of the next, I want to say six teams in the East, give me almost any order.
Yeah.
And I'll buy it. I'll go with five teams because I'll say it's Boston, New York, Miami, Atlanta, and Philadelphia. Almost any order you can convince me of there. And I'm not going to fight you too hard on it because I think they've all got good things going for them. They've all got some things where it could, you know, maybe slide. I think what the Knicks, I'm seeing too many people say things like, well, it was a fluke. They came out of nowhere last year. It was a weird season, all that stuff. Well, that's all true. And let's say some of that does regress back to the mean. And you see that kind of natural regression. They improve the talent, though.
Depth. Yeah.
So that should make up for that. So that's why I don't see this major drop off to being a team that's a 30-win team again or anything like that, or a team that's someone has to fall into the play-in just because there's too many good teams in the East now, which sounds so weird after decades of being like, do we have to bring these last seven teams to the postseason? We just skip around like you do on 2K. But yeah, it is, you know, it's that's. That's why I'll kind of couch it a little bit with that part of its stuff, but they're not going to be bad. Like, I think I'm seeing too many people kind of I feel like that's a force to pick the team that might be bad. And I think that's kind of going cheap. Just looking at it and saying, well, it's the Knicks and they were a fluke last year. I think that's just taking the easy way out versus actually trying to dive in and do a little bit of analysis on it.
Yeah,
and I'm not playing to the home crowd here, I promise. Those are my
It's all good. All good, man. This is Knicks Fan TV at the end of the day. But no, I agree with you, man. And CK, as he said, I think it's the Nets and the Bucks at the top. And then, you know, the rest of the East, there's a lot of parity there, man. There's a lot of parity. But, you know, that's why I'm going with 46 and hopefully, you know, six in the East, maybe fifth. But that's where I'm going, man. I know, JD, you don't like that, man, but that's where I'm going.
And the chat's like, JD, tell him why it's 50, man. Tell him why it's 50. But, yeah, I mean, JD, go ahead. Make your argument because I'm with CP on this. I like 47. I have them sitting at five. But Keith brings up a great point, man. I think that you can mix and match however you want from I guess maybe three down, and I wouldn't argue with you too much. If you have the Knicks a little too low, then we're gonna have to, you know
fist them. Yeah.
But you know, I hear what you're trying to say. But yeah, I JD, I need you to let Keith know about this whole 50 piece movement.
All right,
chat wants you to do it.
So Keith, here's why. First of all, I think CP's taking the safe route. You know, he's taking the safe route. It's safe to say.
Bro, I got 46. PTSD, man. I have no choice, man. I have no choice, man. Things are going too well for us right now.
It's a sweet number. They go 45. I was close enough. They go 47. Oh, so it's a great number. And I actually do think if you have a lot of injuries, that's probably where closer 43 to 46 where they land. Here's why I think they'll push 50. You talked about it, Keith, in terms of number one, the Knicks bench. I think they have, you can make an argument, they have the best bench in the East. Doesn't mean they have the best team, but you can make an argument they have the deepest team. So that's number one. Number two, when we look at the other Eastern Conference teams and we look at the tiers that they will be competing against, everybody likes to talk about what the Knicks' questions are in terms of Kemba's health and Derrick Rose. These other teams have question marks too. When you look at the Miami Heat, What happens if Kyle Lowry gets hurt? Who's the backup point guard? Guess what? Kemba gets hurt. The Knicks have Derrick Rose. Kyle Lowry gets hurt. Who is the backup point guard for the Miami Heat? What happens with Jimmy Butler? You know, they are a team that's hyped up a lot. And if healthy, I think they'll be elite. But when I look at, you know, teams like the Celtics, teams like the Heat, you know, the Pacers, when you look at the roster construction of those teams, once they miss any of those top guys, we don't know what's going to happen with the Sixers. Then what happens when your depth is tested in an 82-game season? In combination with the fact that I don't think there's a coach in the Eastern Conference that will coach every single game like Tom Thibodeau. I mean, this is a guy that coached the preseason as if the season started. He played a center that there's debate whether he had a setback with his foot injury, Mitchell Robinson. He came back. He played him 27 minutes after he just said before that
said he's going to get his feet wet.
And he's going to be limited, and he plays him 27 minutes. I just think
that's a lot
of
water, man.
Yeah. Right. I just think that in an 82-game season where a lot of teams like the Heat with Spoelstra and some of these other players, maybe with Embiid, with Doc Rivers, these guys are going to be load managed. And that doesn't exist with Tom Thibodeau. I even think Kemba may push 26, 27 games. He's been saying all the right things. I don't think he's going to play 82 games. But I just think Tom Thibodeau will steal enough wins in a course of 82 games. They'll win some games they're not supposed to because he just coaches so hard. He's consistent. And I think that'll be enough. And he proved it last year. I mean, last year's roster, they needed every single piece of that roster to get to where they even got to because they were offensively challenged and Elfrid Payton was at point guard. This season, having more weapons, barring health, mm-hmm. and then having what I think was a solid rookie draft class, he has more depth, more weapons, and I think that'll be enough to prepare them to a 50-win season. But I know I'm on the high end, and it's a lot of ifs, right? But I think all the other teams in the East also face the same ifs.
JD, man, I can't get to 50, but I'll knock him up a win or two because it's a really.
I've been trying
good
to
point.
Get CP to go
it's
up too.
It's fair. It's fair. It's just my PTSD, really, man. It's just my PTSD. That's all, man.
Really good point on the fact that they're not going to throw games away like some of those other teams will. Like I'm not as high on the Miami Heat in the regular season as a lot of other people seem to be. I see a lot of people thinking they're third in the East in the regular season. Nice I just don't see it because they're playing for the playoffs. They're not playing to win a whole bunch of games and that. And they have no problem going into Charlotte on a Tuesday in early February and tossing a game away because what difference does it make to them if that's what's good in the long run? Well, you're right. The Knicks aren't wired that way. They're going to go in there trying to win every single game that they play, and that is different, right? That is, especially in the NBA now, you definitely don't have those kind of things. And I always think about with Tibbs, if you can Mitchell Robinson, we're gonna get his feet wet, we're gonna play him near 30 minutes. It's if you can walk, you can play. And it's you better be out there and yeah. Give me what you can give me because, you know, otherwise don't, you know, you better come into this locker room on crutches. And even then I might look down and be like, how's the next guy feeling? And, you know, all right, he's a little worse off. So get out there. Yeah, I'm with you, JDI. That's a pretty convincing argument why they're going to steal, you know, a few wins that they might otherwise not have gotten.
And the burgers are once again flying throughout the chat as JD lays it down.
They're loving them, man.
They're loving it, man. They're loving
it. They're loving
it.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, man. But Keith, we definitely appreciate the time. That this was a great segment. Hope you come back and join us as the season progresses, man. This was a great segment with you. And Knicks versus Celtics, man, kicking off October 20th, Wednesday night at MSG. Looking forward to it. Keith, best of luck to you, man. Thanks again for your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. It's really cool. I was able to check out a lot of your stuff. You guys do great work. It's a lot of fun. I can tell you have some fun with this stuff.
And that,
man, I say all the time, the Knicks fans deserve this. I can't, my single wish for this NBA season, beyond the normal things, like I want everybody to be healthy, I want it to be a great season. Mm-hmm. I want Kemba to hit a game winner on that snatchback. Yeah. Pull up jump shot in the garden and watch that place explode, man. I need it. I need that to happen. Just maybe not on Wednesday night.
Maybe I was just going to say, maybe it happens Wednesday night.
Yeah, maybe, but you know what? Hey, don't tell any of the Celtics fans this. If it happens on Wednesday, I'll have a little bit of a smile. All the best to you guys. I'm excited.
One more, just drop your Twitter handle and let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. I tweet a lot, so be forewarned. It's not for everybody, but it's what I do. You can find my written work all sorts of places if anybody for any reason wants Celtics coverage, Celtics blog. I will have a piece up on Thursday morning. I call it the 10 takeaways, so there'll be some Knicks stuff in there because that's who they're playing. It's always about the prior night's game on that, and then a lot of stuff there. You can find cap stuff if you're interested in that. It's probably what I'm most known for around the NBA. Spot Track is where I do most of that work. And then we have our own show, a YouTube show and podcast called NBA Front Office Show. My guy Trevor Lane and I break down all the latest news and rosters and all that kind of stuff. And we have a lot of fun over there nerding out about the stuff that we get passionate about with the NBA.
Keith, thanks again, man.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much. Good luck this year.
All right. That was Keith Smith of Celtics Blog. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Great segment. Thanks again, Keith. Knicks basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Knicks tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NBA tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices on the same seats on another site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. So go to TickPick.com/KnicksTV today and use the promo code KnicksTV to save $10 off on your first order. Man, you guys already know I'm circling Knicks versus Hawks Christmas Day at Madison Square Garden, and I know TickPick already has me covered. So go to TickPick.com/KnicksTV and use the promo code KnicksTV to save $10 off your first order. Got some super chats coming in. My guy Charlie sending super chats. Charlie's coming through to the opening night party. He says, we too deep. Charlie sends a $20 super chat. Says, we too deep. 50 wins. I'm hype. Hashtag lock up Esteban. I thought Esteban was free, bro. Last time you sent the super chat, you said Esteban was out of the bing. I thought we settled it. Oh, man, Esteban's got to stay out of trouble. He just, he's going crazy over those Knicks, man. He's going ape over those Knicks, man. You know what I mean? But shout out to Charlie for sure. Let's get to the phones real quick, fellas. All right, got you guys in here. All right, to the phones we go. Let's go with Jay from St. Louis. Let's go to the Lou. Jay, what's going on?
What it is, fellas?
How you feeling, man?
CK. Jay, what it is. Much love to y'all, man.
Yes, sir. Same to you, man.
Hey, real quick, everybody hit that thumbs up. Let's not forget, this is business for us,
man. Hit that like button, man. We just had a great guest. We got 1,100 people in here. Let's get up to 1,000 likes right now. Hit that like button. Let's go.
Might work. Yeah, we coming from the middle of the map, man. Yep. Hey, real quick, I'm going to be honest with you. We winning this game against the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my St. Louis folk, he definitely going to put up that 40-piece because of the Garden.
Yeah,
that's the word on the block. So I'm just,
yeah, Jason Tatum from St. Louis, man. Can't forget that.
Hey, he gonna do that. I'm letting you know. I've seen him work this summer. I work in one of the most important gyms in St. Louis, and yeah, he looks crispy. Like the man said, KD, like it's like that. So much respect for him, though. But back to our Knicks. I'm expecting us to be top three, man. I told JD and I told 2K, man. I give us top three. I'm not giving us no numbers. I'm not giving up none of that. We top three. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like JD said, we got everything to match up, especially with the bench. I think Juju can be MVP for us. You know, Julius Randle, he can do that for us. If he's a 29, 10, and 7 guy for us and we top three, I think that would be great for us. You know, I think that would be great for him. You know, to prove that we are the franchise. Along with being top three, Mitch has to be healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's the case, you know, that plays a big part. You know, I don't see him getting a lot of minutes. I don't think he'll ever be in the 30s, not until possibly second half of the season. But, mm-hmm. you know, 27, 28 a night, him working with Taj, that's lovely, you know. Getting that experience, that veteran presence around, you know, Jericho and the other young guys that'll work for us. And another thing I want to bring up is, you know, what's RJ Wendell for us? You know, and CP, I said this before, you know, I give him the Brad Wendell, you know. Brad had about 5 years till he really started, you know, peaking. I told you, you know, their stats are pretty much, you know, comparable, you know, how they both came out, you know, what they did their first 2 years and things like that. I give him that window to where, you know, it can stretch to 5, you know, years to where he may not become that, you know, 20-point scorer until then, you know. So I think guys will really be, you know, understanding that it may be a little bit longer, but I think if he can step it up on the defensive end, like you guys were explaining before, you know, that 3D guy, he can take over in that level for us and definitely be maybe our third option type of guy. Because I think Julius Randle end up being the two guy if we find an out, you know, one. So that would be great for us. I'm behind you on the CP with, you know, the Alex Burke thing. He'd be hot, man. It's just like every 4 games, every 5
yeah.
games out of the year.
Don't forget my guy Burks, us, man. You know? Don't forget my guy Burks.
You know, yeah. Burke and bag his life, man. Yeah. You know, whoever came with the name, you're silly, man. You're real silly. Yeah. But, yeah, I think he's like that for us. You know, quick Jim, you know, he's from the Mo too. I got to see him in high school. Let's just say he gave Brad that work. We're gonna leave it at that. So
okay.
We're gonna leave it at that. Playoff, you know, type of thing. So yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, him coming off that bench and being that 7 guy for us, you know, when our point guards are not having it, you know, out there, he can be somebody that can just come in and light it up for us.
Yeah.
If that's the case with him and Quick, you know, doing that thing, you know. I appreciate that, you know, but, man, I think Obi can really do some things that, you know, he really looks crispy out there. He looks like he took advantage of this offseason. And mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it at that, man. Coming from the middle of the map, I love
Let's
you
go.
Guys. Keep it up. I got the YouTube going crazy at work.
Let's
Keep
go.
Keep pushing, y'all.
Appreciate it, Jay. Stay safe out there, man. Good to hear from you as usual, man. Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
That was Jay from the Lou calling in. Gave us his concerns, his thoughts on the preseason. Call us up, man, 657-383-1509 or the Knicks Fan TV Discord. Let us know your final preseason thoughts. Do you have any bold predictions? Do you have any concerns? Anything you want to talk about, let's get it in. We are 2 days away from the Knicks season opener, man. 2 days away, man. JD, go ahead, bro.
I mean, I can't wait for Wednesday, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Wednesday.
Yeah.
Everyone is excited.
Man.
You know, you could feel you feel the energy. It's just like it's just people write it in the chat, but
yeah,
I feel it on the screen. Like everyone is so pumped for the game. And you know, I saw you smirk a little bit, CP, when I said Obi Randall. And as if you don't think that's going to happen. Now, I probably don't think as well. But listen, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Celtics go small ball, mm-hmm. as Keith mentioned, and Tatum is playing the four, mm-hmm. and Brown is playing the three, and Robert Williams is playing the five. What do you do in the course of the duration of the game if Randall has to play Tatum? You know, like, yeah. Tibbs will go, you know, with the traditional lineup because Noel's already out, yeah. right?
No, Noel.
And then Mitch, you don't know how many minutes Mitch is going to play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he extended him in preseason, I think, to kind of catch him up and get him in game shape. So, mm-hmm. does, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see if Thibodeau adjusts, mm-hmm. and matches up to the Celtics style, or in terms of putting Randall at the five and either putting RJ at the four to match up with Tatum.
I think you could do that too, bro.
Right. And I think that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I think that's why Grimes got some minutes, because if when you do go small, you can maybe bring a Grimes in, get a little spot minutes at the three.
Yeah.
Depending on how Fournier's playing, maybe you play, you know, Rose at the two. I think so it'll be interesting to see how Tibbs matches up, because not only if the Celtics go small, not only could there be a matchup problem, but they become more athletic because you have Tatum and Brown with Robert Williams.
Yeah.
That's an athletic matchup to play. A Noel, which he's not playing, but to even, you know, maybe ask Taj Gibson. Like, I just think it'll be interesting to see. And I think, you know, the Obi Randall thing, or Randall at the five, mm-hmm. I think I'll just be interested to see how much Thibodeau will adjust to these small lineups that I think teams will attack the Knicks with. Because don't think that these other teams don't know that, you know, the Knicks are looking to have 48 minutes of rim protection with Noel and Mitch.
Right.
Some teams are going to look to kind of test Thibodeau and see, let's go small. Let's see if Thibodeau adjusts, take one of these centers out and allow us to attack their perimeter and attack the basket.
True story. CK, what do you think about that? Before I get my thoughts, what do you think about I think he's going to get tested right away, man. I think Udoka may test him in that first game going with Tatum at the four. I really do.
Yeah, just listening to Keith, that was my initial thought. I definitely think that he's just going to go straight with putting Tatum at the four, put his new build to test, especially in a night like against us on Wednesday, where, you know, go up against a guy like Julius Randle. I mean, he is definitely a strong guy. His defense has definitely improved. But if there's any time to, you know, try it out and see when it'll work, I think that's the time. And to JD's point, it's going to be – I would love to see. I would love to see Tibbs go out there and throw out that Obi Randall tandem first game of the season. But I don't know. I can see RJ dropping down matchup wise more so, and maybe Julius at the five before Obi and Randall. Unless Obi's having a tremendous game and he's playing like how he did in that fourth preseason game, defensively and offensively, then we'll see. But matchup-wise, I think he's going to try to do whatever he can to keep RJ on Tatum. But I'm also not sleeping on Randall getting some defensive stops or defensive chances against Tatum. I'm not sleeping on that.
I wouldn't discredit that either, because Julius has shown the foot speed to be able to keep up, and he's a bit more svelte this year. I think Tibbs will try that first. But as you said, JD, you could go, like, let's say if the Celtics went Smart, Richardson, Brown, Tatum, Williams, right? You know, you could counter with Kemba. Could go Kemba. You know,
maybe your boy Burks in a small lineup.
Yeah, maybe. Go Burks. My guy Burks was on his defensive bag in the preseason, all right? Maybe you go Burks. And maybe you go Fournier, RJ, Julius.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is going to happen. But maybe you go
there. Yeah, not if Williams is out there. I don't know if that's happening.
I think Schroeder is an important matchup in this game because, you know, I know a lot of people may be down on him because of the way he ended his Lakers season. But at the end of the day, this is a new season. He's motivated, and he's a good player. And his strengths are actually going to be some of the things that the Knicks are going to have to contend with. Yeah. all 100%. Season.
I and saw it's people why... in the chat talking about Schroeder as a bum. I'm like, well, you know, the things that he does, it's going to put some pressure on his defense regardless.
He's a scrappy player. He likes to get under other players' skin.
Yeah.
And I also think long term, because we may not see the maximum to start the season as Mitchell Robinson gets into a game shape. Mm-hmm. That's why I think Mitchell Robinson is such a tough decision long term for the Knicks, because mm-hmm. when the way Thibodeau likes to play, having Mitchell Robinson at the center position allows Thibodeau to play however he wants defensively, because even if you're playing against a smaller lineup, you can switch up. You can change your scheme and just switch everything and still have confidence yeah. that Mitchell Robinson can defend, you know, a four or even a three just for a possession
yeah.
because of his ability to recover, his on athletic the perimeter, ability. Right. So,
which is why I don't think he bails. He, like as CK said, he may not bail from that side lineup even if they go small. You know? So it's chess, man. Chess games. It's going to be very interesting matchup, bro.
That's all it's going to be for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. If they were playing the Lakers, it would be much more easy.
Yeah, much easier. Because
it's very traditional, the way they're playing.
Right, right.
But I think that's what makes the opening night so much more fun, is because you're playing a team that it's quote unquote in that tier that people are debating. You're playing a good team. Mm-hmm. You're playing a storied franchise. Yeah. You're playing at the Garden, and you're playing also a team that has a lot to prove and has a lot of pressure to get off to a fast start, you know, being from what the offseason they had and some of the decisions that they make. So
it's
going to be a fun opener. And yeah. then the whole Kemba, you know, Fournier, all those storylines mm-hmm. in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a good test, because the majority of the East is going to be playing that way, where they're going to be playing a lot more smaller lineups. Mm-hmm. The same Heat we're talking about, those Bulls we were talking about earlier on the show, Hawks, all these teams have those smaller lineups where, just like on Wednesday, we're going to be having to play chess and figuring out when we can use New Orleans and when we can't, when we can use Mitchell and when we can't.
Yeah.
So I think that Wednesday is going to be a perfect test to start off the season. It's going to be fun.
You know what's the other thing, CP?
Mm-hmm.
Five shows to cover it. We got five to cover on Wednesday. Five shows.
Five
on
shows,
Knicks
man. Five shows.
It's going to be and you know it's going to be overreaction Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be crazy, man. And just to give the people the lineups, salute to everybody in chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We got an action pack next couple of days, man. Tomorrow, I'm going to be at Quaker Ridge Golf Club with the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation. Me and my guy, Jake Brown from New York Post Sports Podcast, will be on the ones and twos covering the event. We'll have some surprise interviews for you guys and taking some more of your phone calls on the series and just the season as well. Wednesday, we're going to start off. I'll be on SNY with Ian Begley at 4 p.m. Then we're going to do the pregame show live from Mustang Harry's in NYC. CP, JD, Ian Begley will be joining us live there. So that's going to be big. Pumas is also going to be there. We're going to have some other surprise guests. And then we'll do another pregame show from MSG around, say, 7:15. We'll do the halftime show on Knicks Fan TV. We'll do the outside Knicks Fan TV after dark from MSG. And then we'll go to post game live. CK and Ashley will kick us off, taking your phone calls, and then me and JD will jump back in once we get to the final destination, man. So it's gonna be an action packed evening on Knicks Fan TV. Make sure you guys hit that subscribe button and the notification bell so you don't miss anything. All right, so let's get to a couple more calls, and then we'll do our season predictions and wrap up. I see Ari in the chat. Ari, we'll close with you. Let's go to Tom from Huntington. Tom, how you feeling, man?
First of all, you guys do a fantastic job. I just have to throw that out there.
Thank you, man.
Secondly, I got a new phone. I don't know if you could tell.
Oh, yeah, much better than the CB radio, Tom. Much better than the CB radio.
Yeah, no more CB. Yeah, exactly. And it came down to either pay the light bill or a new phone bill. I said, you know what? Let me get a new phone, because with the LED light,
that's it.
From the Manscaped, I said, you know what? I can afford this.
That's right.
But
that's
I just wanted to throw out there real quick. You guys, like I said, I'm excited. Wednesday is almost here. Mm-hmm. 53 wins this year.
Let's go.
Let's not worry about the little things, gentlemen. It's going to be a good year. I have that feeling. So. Rapid fire. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing the good work, and I'll definitely enjoy this new phone and this great year we're gonna have ahead of us. All right, thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Tom, rapid fire, man. Always appreciate the call, Tom. Val from Jersey. Val, what's going on, bro?
How you fellas doing?
Good, man. How you feeling, Val?
Good. I just have something quick. Yeah. Now, usually Tibbs has a type. Specifically, I want to speak about a big man. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know Tibbs has big men from Patrick Ewing, Joakim Noah, to Carlos Towns that average double-doubles. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's a big man in Phoenix that's going through something. Mm-hmm. He's very durable. He averages 18-12 in the West. Imagine what he'll do in the West.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts about that? Let me know.
Who are you trying to trade? Who are you trading for Ayton?
All right, so look now, this is what my second trade is going to be controversial. I'm going to get a bunch of tomatoes, but my first trade is like, I will simply give them maybe one young player, like Quickly, and like, I don't know, Burks or somebody in Noel. But my second trade, I'm going to get a bunch of tomatoes, and I'm ready to get it. I'm willing to move Julius Randle so he can play with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and give me Ayton and a bunch of picks, and then we can start OB, Ayton, RJ, and yeah. And go forward with beer. That's all I'm saying.
thanks for the call,
Val. It's a Tibbs type. It's a Tibbs type.
Thanks for the call, Val. He was always a good call, man. I always like to hear from Val, man. I gotta do it, man. I'm sorry, man. We gotta send him to the dial tone right now. We gotta cancel.
I was waiting for someone to bring it up. The minute I saw that report, I'm like, you know what they're
going to
talk about.
Somebody did hit me up today, too, about that. The whole thing. It might have been Val.
I hit you up.
Oh, it was you. It was you.
If I sent you the screenshot?
That's right.
My friend was like, hey, Mitch for Aiden? And I'm just man. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting to see that the Suns didn't give him the bag. You know, very interesting.
Something to watch, though. Something to watch because CP3 is not 23.
Yeah.
And, you know, you saw how that team was pre-CP3. Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of talk in the past. Devin Booker linked to the Knicks. Who's that next star that's going to be here? You know, just saying. And you see that Phoenix owner, his reputation of being, you know, very, you know, Robert Sarver being very cheap.
Yeah.
Let's see how does Ayton take this personal, you know? Just say it. You never know in the future.
Ah, I mean, that's just not where I want to go. You know what I'm saying? That's just not where I want to go when I'm team building. I don't like to invest that much.
I'm referring to Devin Booker, not even.
Oh, yeah.
that's why I said it's a situation to watch for the future.
Sure. Let me check on the chat. Are the tomatoes flying? It's all red. Mm-hmm. The chat is bleeding right now, Val. Bleeding. Yep.
They run out of tomatoes. They throwing broccoli, bro.
They throwing everything.
Charlie sends us a super chat. He says, hang up. He also said the super chat. He says, we shut down the city again on Wednesday. Can't wait. Let's go, Knicks. Yeah, going to be interesting to see, man. If we get a W, the Knicks Fan TV after dark, I don't know, man. We're going to have to climb up to the Verizon Tower somewhere, man, because it's going to be crazy. It's gonna be crazy, man.
It'll be a good way to start off the season because it'll be noted as a quality win.
Yeah,
it'll be a quality win.
Sure, absolutely, man. Against a team that you figure we're gonna be, you know, neck and neck with all season. So even though it's the first game of the year, it's gonna be an important game, man. I talked about the importance of the tiebreakers even last year when we got swept by the Heat and sweeping the Hawks. You know, those games mattered. So, gonna be interesting again. Shout out my guy, Michael Parker. He's coming through Wednesday night. Sends a super chat. He says, salute Knicks Nation. Salute to the chat. One time for the mods. Who's going to be in the building on opening night? Let's go. If you're going to be in the building on opening night, type in a hashtag me. If you're going to be in the building opening night, type in hashtag me. Let us know. Steven Goman sends a super chat. He says, thumbs up for your boys. Let's go 50 burger. Junior Caroma sends a super chat. He says, salute CP the Don, JD, and CK2K. Knicks season couldn't have started at a more perfect time, just in time to save us from the Giants disaster. Oof.
Don't want to talk about
it. I don't want to talk about it, man. Let's get back to the phones. No, I'm skipping.
I'll listen.
Let's get back to the phones. Ice Water, what's good, man? How you feeling?
Yo, what's going on?
Chill, man. How you doing?
All right.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, the gentleman that you just had on, your guest, I forgot his name.
Keith Smith.
Keith. Yeah. Let me tell you, man. It's about time somebody started talking about. I mean, Ben Simmons. Everybody's talking about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons won't shoot. It's a problem. And you know, then we had a dude like Burnt Toast at point guard that you didn't want that dude to shoot.
Yes.
You know. I mean, it was like a tale of two cities or something, you know. But But so, I mean, you know, the way that we upgraded, you know, from in the backcourt, I don't know how everybody's talking about this 41, 43, 44 games. It's got to be worth 6 or 7 games in improvement just from the upgrade in the backcourt. So I just don't get it. But yeah, man, but I hope one of my hopes is on Wednesday that Grimes gets in. I really like the way that he played preseason. You know, I hope that he gets in. I wish that I could be at this game, but I can't. But I really wish that I could. I'm just really looking forward to it.
Yep.
And my last thing is, you know, I'm tired of this slander, all right? Everybody's bigging up JD, talking about the 50 burger and all this. Now, I'm the first one that said 50
ice water.
I didn't put it, you know, I didn't make it a culinary dish. I didn't make it a sandwich or a burger or a 50 hero. And I wasn't that creative, right? But yeah. I was the first one to say 50 wins. So, you know, all respect, JD, but, you know, come on. You know, you got to give me my props, right?
Hey, I give you your props, man. I'm not in a race. You got it. As long, I just want us to get there.
No, but I'm holding on to that 50 wins and the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm holding on to that.
All right.
You know, I'd be disappointed. I think it's a disappointment if we don't at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. With the roster and the depth that we have, we should make a run. And just one more thing, DeAndre Ayton, no.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Keep Mitch. You know, I would much rather have Mitch than DeAndre Ayton. And there was a time when I wanted Devin Booker. Don't want Devin Booker. Too inconsistent. Don't want Devin Booker. I like the team that we have. You know, if we're going to get somebody, let's, you know, not one of those dudes. So.
Perimeter, man. Perimeter.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. Thanks.
Give me that assassin on the perimeter, man. Forget the big guy. You already got Zion. Zion already missing games again with the foot. Come on, man. Like, forget that Zion thing. Forget Towns. Forget Ayton. Give me a beast on the perimeter, man. Give me the next guy after Fournier. The next guy after Kemba and Rose. Give me that. That's what I'm looking for. Forget the big guy. We good with Mitch.
Yeah, can't co-sign the Booker thing. I would love to have Booker in orange and blue. I'm sorry. No, he's still got a lot of game to unlock. I will take him in the orange blue in the heart.
Forget Zion, man. Forget Zion. That's trouble, man.
Yeah, y'all can have that.
That's a buyer's beware. I'm telling you. Forget that.
At this point, he might re-sign with the Pelicans.
He ain't gonna have no other choice.
He might not have any other choice, man.
Right.
Zion out. That's kind of crazy, man. All right, fellas, let's get to. So Icewater said you want to see Grimes get in. I mean, hey, you know, you never know with foul trouble, injuries, you never know. But we saw some good things from Grimes definitely in that preseason game. Loved his defense. Always talked about the fact that he's a good rebounding guard. Finished that last preseason game with 6 rebounds. Thought that was excellent. Thought his jumper was on the money. Didn't make all of them, but certainly made the timely threes that he needed to. So I liked Grimes' activity on both ends. And the preseason finale for sure. So, will he get there? We'll see. But one thing for sure, fellas, all three of us had Quentin Grimes in our preseason awards. So there it is, Quentin Grimes, ladies and gentlemen, our Rookie of the Year pick. So there that is, Grimes over McBride and Sims. Now, CK, I'll start with you, man. You went with Grimes as the Rookie of the Year pick. You went OV, MIP, Rose, Sixth Man, Julius, MVP. Just talk through those a little bit.
I just want to say, you know, I've been putting a lot of stock in the Grimes category. I had him in my lineups as well when we were talking about our proposed lineups going into the year. And I was really happy with the minutes that he gave, especially coming from playing garbage minutes in the first few games and then getting a way bigger role in that fourth game and delivering even when his shot wasn't hitting, like you said, until it mattered. I'm really excited about this kid. And I, a lot like the Obi Toppin and Julius Randle pairing in the lineup, I don't know if Tibbs is going to go to Grimes early on, but if I were to bet on one of those two scenarios, I think I would bet on the Grimes getting some burn before Julius and Obi closing out a game. So I really believe that we're going to see Q get in that rotation. I've been saying it. I'm sticking to it. And I believe that he's going to be a part of this rotation. Who gets left out, I'll leave that at Tibbs. But I'm sticking to it. So, yeah, as far as the preseason, I love what Q gave to us. And most improved, I think that was. Are we just sticking on rookie? You want me to keep going?
Just go through it. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, but most improved, like Obi Toppin. Everybody was talking about Obi Toppin for a reason. He upped every aspect of his game: confidence offensively, confidence defensively, and actual production defensively. And that's the main things that I want to see. We saw what he could give us in that summer league run. And I feel like he brought that same player and some. Yeah. My man was even pointing out Floyd Mayweather after.
Yeah, he said, "Floyd, this is for you." Obi was flexing on him. Yeah.
Right, right. That's the man that I was looking forward to. We got Dayton Obi in the building. I loved what we saw of Obi in the preseason. And if we end up doing this at the end of the season, I would bet now that I think Obi Toppin would be my most improved for the Knicks at the end of the season as well. I think this is something that's going to carry on. I really believe in him. Sixth man, what else needs to be said? Derrick Rose did what he had to do. He came off the bench and did exactly what Derrick Rose did. Comfortable being that backup, doing what he has to do, controlling the second unit. My favorite thing about him was the way that he was pushing to make the other players on the around him better. Kevin Knox was getting the little bits of minutes. You saw him force feed Kevin Knox to get a few threes in that game against the Wizards in Washington. We saw the same thing with Obi Toppin pushing the pace with Obi. He's just, you know, the guy that we need running the floor for us on that second unit. That's going to carry over. I have him as my sixth man of the year for the regular season, so he definitely got in the preseason. I think he's going to get it for the actual league this year. And Julius Randle played three of the four games. My man had a whole second kid and got a game winner, diving for balls, asking for challenges in a preseason game. And not to mention, I'm not even talking about the stats yet, putting up crazy minutes because of Tibbs. Nah, man, that's MVP worthy right there. I got nothing else to say. Julius Randle, I'm ready for the real season. And, yeah, he was definitely MVP in only three games for preseason in my eyes. Stats be damned. The man was doing all the little things. He was the Thibodeau on the court. Yeah. Give that man the MVP.
JD, your season predictions. You going Grimes, Rookie of the Year? RJ, you're going with the most improved. You're thinking RJ will be the most improved player when it's all said and done. D-Rose, sixth man, and D-Rose, MVP. Now, I'm tell people in the chat, when I first saw this D-Rose as an MVP pick, I thought it was Cap. I felt like JD was trying to curry favor with the Rose Hive after removing him from his closing lineup. You know, the Rose Hive is very sensitive, CK. We know this. They're very sensitive. I feel like the MVP pick was strategic on JD's part, but I'll let you speak for yourself. Go ahead, bro.
All right, so I'll leave that for last. Yeah. Grimes, you know, I don't know, it looks like CK was all on the Grimes bandwagon from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But going into it, based on Summer League, I thought it would be McBride. And now the way preseason ended, some of the minutes he got late. And when I look at also the rotation, I just think Grimes has more paths to get minutes than McBride does. Yeah. To me, the way it looks like it's shaping out based on the way Thibodeau has managed preseason and minutes, it looks like McBride's only chance to get minutes is either defensive assignment late or injuries via the point guard position. Mm-hmm. After that, whether it's from the two guard position and even the three in a small ball, and you might even play him in a bigger lineup and have him guard ones. Mm-hmm. It looks like Thibodeau likes Grimes in a variation of lineup. So mm-hmm. just based on the fact that I just think Grimes has more paths to play, to me, he got the nod for rookie of the year. And he's your first round pick. So you would think you would want to find ways to get him minutes. Now, RJ, I think Obi, and I know Obi will be the popular pick, and I think Obi will be the most improved in terms of gap. Like, his gap from where he was last season to this season, I think it will be more noticeable mm-hmm. when you see him on the court. But just like Julius Randle got the most improved player award last season in the whole NBA, and part of that was because of the impact he had on the Knicks, I just think that for what the assignments are for RJ, the challenges that he's going to face, the way that Thibodeau is challenging him. I'm not looking at it from a statistical standpoint. I'm looking at it from him taking a jump defensively and him just improving his points per game by 1 or 2 points, continuing to be in a, you know, turning into an elite three-point shooter, it seems. I think him making a jump defensively will be so crucial for the Knicks that I think the impact that it'll have on the Knicks' bottom line will be more than Obi showing improvement for 10 to 15 minutes. So for me, it's just more acknowledging RJ's jump than actually not saying that Obi's not going to be improved. I think Obi will be most improved in terms of from year one to year two. Rose, don't need to say anything about the sixth man. I think based on him being the first guard off the bench, it's set. Now, MVP.
Yeah.
All right. I think Randall is our best player, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But again, last year, the Knicks, without Derrick Rose, were 17-20. Mm-hmm. With Derrick Rose, Derrick Rose played 35 games. Mm-hmm. With Derrick Rose, the Knicks were 30. They were 24-11 with him. One was a 69% win percentage. At the end of the day, when you look at teams around the NBA, you saw the Lakers. They had LeBron, no AD. LeBron is the best player in the world, people say. That didn't matter for the Lakers. You saw with the Nets, KD is their best player. Harden wasn't 100%. That didn't matter for the Nets. You see it all around the NBA. Yes, Randall's our best player, but who is your most valuable player? And to me, this season, the most valuable player for the Knicks will be Derrick Rose. We've seen it a little bit already in preseason. We saw it how many times last year. I just think that being a closing option, and I just think he's our most indispensable player. If we lose him, it could be, you know, I don't think we're going to reach our ceiling. And that's just how I'm basing it. Most valuable player to me is Derrick Rose. And I think he'll prove it this year, because when he's played, we've won games. And that's the bottom line.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Still think it's cap for the Rose Hive, but fair enough. Fair enough, man. All right. Rose Hive, stand down. All right. We're showing them love, man. Yo, somebody from the Rose Hive got at me crazy after the last preseason game. I said on the show several things. I said how much, you know, his jumper is efficient. He's playmaking. He's closing. I said he should be the closing point guard in these games over Kemba. And somebody in the Rose Hive was like, CP, you're talking about Julius in this game. Rose didn't get enough coverage. Rose didn't get enough love. I said, yo, Julius did hit the game winner, right? How are we not going to talk about Julius? But that's Rose Hive for you, man. So good job, JD. Hopefully we don't get any tomatoes from them. So for me, I'm with you guys. I'm going Grimes as the team rookie of the year. As you said, JD, I think he'll get more opportunities than McBride to come in spurts. You know, again, RJ's going to have some tough assignments. There will be nights where he's going to pick up those two quick fouls, you know, miss a full half. Then you got Burks up next, and then you got Grimes up next. So, and I think Grimes will be able to slide in maybe at the two or even the three, depending on the matchup. So I think there'll be more opportunities for him to play. And again, just be in that 3-and-D wing, it, you know, where he is in his rookie year, I think he's going to be solid for us if he gets some minutes, man. I really like what I saw from him in that last preseason game, and I think he'll be able to do that in the regular season. Plays with a veteran's mentality already. You could already see that in him. Most improved, I hear what you're saying with RJ, and I think defensively it'll definitely show, and he's going to have those assignments. He's going to have no choice but to show it. But I think offensively, I think he'll maintain where he was last year, being that around 17-7, 18-7, 40% from three, which will still be good, which will still be good contributions. I just don't see the offensive leap that, you know, drastic as it was from rookie to sophomore year. Maybe, hopefully, you hope he gets to 20. That would be nice. That would certainly be nice. But I think he'll still stay, especially with the additions of Kemba and Fournier. I still think RJ will still be around that 18-7, 17-7, and 40% from three, 3-and-D type. So I'm going with Obi, because from what I saw from Summer League in the preseason, I feel like he's ready. I feel like he's confident. And I just feel like he's locked in, not just offensively, but defensively, man. Three block shots in that closing preseason game against the Wizards, and that's what gives you confidence that maybe you see that Julius and Obi lineup when we need more offense out there and we're trying to catch up from a tough gap. Because Tibbs said during the media day press conference that he didn't like it last year because he had no rim protection. Well, Obi's showing you right now that his defensive awareness is taking a step up from his rookie season. So, and he's also getting on the boards. And so even in the limited minutes, I'm looking at Obi as a guy that could fill up your stat sheet for you, get you maybe 8 to 10 points, 8 to 10 rebounds, a steal here, a block here, a couple of dimes, knock down a couple of threes. And I think that'll be way more than what he gave you in his rookie year. You know, and again, from a confidence standpoint, just attacking on both ends, them finding him in transition will also benefit him. So I'm going Obi with the most improved. D-Rose, no-brainer, sixth man. I think he'll be the sixth man of the team and the sixth man of the league. I think D-Rose could even up his points per game this year than last year as he gets more comfortable and more chemistry with his team, understands his role, and I do think he's going to be the closing point guard on this team. So even if he doesn't start, I think he's still going to get a healthy dose of minutes. And the way he's been shooting the rock between last year and into this preseason, I think he's going to be spot on. So I think Rose will make a strong case for league sixth man of the year, and he'll definitely be the team sixth man of the year. And then lastly, MVP. Listen, I hear what you're saying about the team record when they got Rose, because that was certainly noticeable. I looked at him as the X factor of that Knicks team. But the MVP to me is still going to be Julius. I think the most indispensable player is still going to be Julius. He needs to be healthy, and you need for him to maintain that all-star, most improved player pace. It may not be that the 24-10-7 that he did last season, which was outstanding. You know, that was historic, those stats that he put up. But he's going to have to come close for this team to stay above the play-in and be a playoff team, be a sixth seed, be one of the top teams in the East, is going to come on Julius's back. If Rose goes down, yeah, we're going to lose a lot, but we still got Quick. We got Burks, my guy Burks. You know, we can still make up for the offense, JD. We can still make up offensively, JD, if Rose goes down. We may not have that same killer instinct and that same MVP style, that veteran presence, but offensively, we can make those numbers up. If Julius goes down, I don't see how you get that. And so that's why I'm
Obi,
going.
Obi, most improved player. You got Obi as most improved player, right?
He will be, but he won't be the MVP. I don't think he'll be putting up MVP numbers. So that's where I'm going. I'm going Julius with the MVP, man. So what do you guys think in the chat? Leave us your rookie of the year pick, most improved, sixth man, and MVP. What do you guys think, chat?
I thought you were gonna find a way, and I know you were working on it. I know you were trying to find what's an argument that I can come up with, man, to somehow put Alec Burks in this lineup.
Listen, if there was a Mr. Fourth Quarter, don't worry, he's gonna be there. He's going to come up big for us again this year. Now his role might change, you know, across the 82 game spectrum, but don't sleep on Burks, man. We're gonna need him this year, big time. Big time. All right, last call of the night. Oh, I see Jay Boogie here. So Jay Boogie just bumped Ari out of his spot. So Ari's up and Jay Boogie closing. Ari, what's good?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. So first of all, yo, JD, you're on your game tonight, man. You're on your game tonight. Listen, you know, you make very sound arguments. Personally, I'm with CP. I'm with 46, 47. You may have bumped me up to like 47, 48. I'm not going to go 50 wins. Mm-hmm. And personally, I don't care if Kevin Durant and LeBron James are on this team. I'm not going 50 wins because I have such PTSD. So I'll never go 50 wins on that. But I'm just saying, you make good points today. Mm-hmm. Listen, with regards to your MVP, if you're talking playoff MVP, I'm with you. I think D-Rose will be our playoff MVP. But obviously regular season MVP, I'm going with Julius. Now, what I want to talk about is about the game tomorrow or mm-hmm. on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I wanted to call him when
Keith Smith.
His name? The other guy, the Boston guy was here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, I personally think the Knicks are going to win tomorrow, and I think they're going to win because, first of all, the home court advantage is going to be insane. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be, it's going to be crazy in that building. And, you know, I wanted to talk to Keith because Boston is they're one of the softest teams in the league. The reason why Jason Tatum doesn't go to the free throw line is because he shies away from contact. And, you know, I just think the Knicks are going to out-hustle them. I think they're going to body them. There's only one guy on Boston who actually is a tough guy, and that's Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. But everyone else on that team is soft. They don't want the contact. And you know the Knicks are going to come hard. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. I think Tibbs closed the Washington game with the team he was considering closing against Boston because he knows they might go small. So he's looking at Obi and Randall, you know, the small ball unit, because he knows Boston might go small. And he also had Quentin Grimes on the floor. And both of those things he never did at all in the preseason. I can definitely see Quentin Grimes getting some, especially down the stretch, you know, if Tatum and Brown are going off. Quentin Grimes, in my opinion, is the best perimeter defender on the team. I know RJ's up there, but Grimes definitely could hold his own. So I think he's going to actually get minutes, and I think Tibbs was kind of preparing for that, maybe, and that's why he ran, and that's why he ran that lineup. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm with JD, like, in the sense that when you have such a deep team, you're less susceptible, like, the injuries don't affect you as much as if you have a top-heavy team. So your floor is kind of higher, but your ceiling's kind of lower because you don't have the superstar talent. But I'm gonna give JD the benefit of doubt. I was at 46 wins. Because of his argument, I'll bump myself up to 47 wins. I'll give you an extra game on that. And, I think the Knicks are going to win the game tomorrow in a defensive game.
Okay.
So I would take the under tomorrow. And one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
After careful deliberations, and talking to multiple people from Knicks Fan TV and the people in the chat, I'm going to take my talents to Twitter starting tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm joining the Knicks Fan TV Twitter gang.
Let's go.
I don't know my handle yet, so I don't know about that, but I hear there's a lot of negativity and fighting, so obviously I want to be there for all of that. That's my comfort zone. So,
Ari joining the squad.
Oh, boy.
I definitely look forward to the Twitter gang. So I'll be there to do the Twitter thing. So once I get it all set up, I'll let you guys know.
Looking forward to it, man. Ari joining the Twitter fam. Okay. All right. So we'll send out the handle once we know it. But Ari, breaking news, is joining the Twitter gang. No doubt. He made up for that because he had a flagrant three on one of those comments, man. I won't even repeat it, but it was a flagrant three offense.
Yeah.
Had to drop the pause. Even while I was multitasking, I still caught that. It was like, whoa, take it easy. Oh, man. Other news real quick around the world. Rokas Jakubaitis is turning heads. All right. They said Rokas is doing the damn thing in the Spanish ACB League, which is considered to be second to the NBA in terms of competition and in terms of quality of play. Seems like Rokas left Summer League swagged out, and he's doing the damn thing over there in Spain. So, according to John Hollinger of The Athletic, he says, I think he was his pick of the week in terms of international prospect. In the Athletic article, he says, most notably, he's been able to convert both frequently and efficiently inside the arc, despite moving up to a more difficult league, hitting 20 of his 31 two-point attempts while drawing fouls at roughly double the rate of a year ago. He looks like a really interesting rotation guard for the next year and beyond. So, all right, so we're talking, when you're talking to Keith Smith about team building. Knicks got their draft and stash going down, and Rokas is doing the damn thing, man. So stay tuned for that.
When you talk about building assets, if they all pan out, can't keep them and pay them all. So it'll be interesting to see.
Got options.
Got options, man. You know, this could be the future. While D-Rose and Kemba do their thing, who knows? You know, Rokas and McBride could be the next platoon with a little quickly in there. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. All right. Closer of the night, Jay Boogie in the building. Jay Boogie, let's go.
Salute. Three capital S's. Hope everybody doing great and lovely. God bless you all in the chat. Before I even drop off a jewel, I got to give a lot of love to the CPs going on. First thing first, rest in peace to Colin Powell.
Yeah, 100%.
First thing first. I got to give him that. Now let's move on from that. Much love and respect for another CP, Candace Parker. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, you went home and you brought your chip back to the crib. Mm-hmm. Call Kimba and tell him that's what we're looking for. Point blank, hands down. Now let's move on from that to my man on that window screen, CP. That's my general manager, young Lloyd Banks. Right over here, my man Griselda. Yeah, the young pretty boy himself. And my man, the young Tony Yayo, fly assassin. Yeah, let's and it's go. The squad. And my man, you don't never see behind the board, Super Dave. Keep the cape on. We don't see him, anything go wrong, best believe he handling his business. Shout out to Wonder Woman. Wherever she at, you know how she do. She flying in that visible jet. Yeah. And you know who I am, Jake Boogie. Let me run this down real quick, I feel and what's going on. Mm-hmm. All right, my rookie of the year on our team, yeah, y'all already called it. It's got to be Grimes, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Point blank, hands down. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to throw something in there, my most improved player. I'm going to just go a little bit to the side mm-hmm. because I want him to do right, and I want him to know he got some love behind him. I'm going to give some love to Kevin Knox, man. Come on back. You already on the team. You ain't get traded. You ain't going nowhere. You didn't go to summer league. I don't know what you worked on, but I want you to know that we're behind you 100%. Come on back. I got a most improved player award for you. Come and get that for me, please, all right? The sixth man off the bench, D. Rose, man. You got to give it to him. He already got it hands down. He done bought that ring and planted it in the middle of the court, so you know what time it is right there. Yeah. He's feeling himself this year, right?
Yeah.
And no other than my man. You know who the most improved player, you know what I'm saying? Julius Randle. And ain't nobody else going to do it but him, and he's ready to go. Best believe, you saw it, game on the line. Buzzer beater. You should have dropped the Julius nip when he did that. Yes, salute my brother. He ready to go. And he ain't got to work hard from the first to the third no more. He can only work from the second to the finish line, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And get there and break world records like Carl Lewis. Get to the finish line, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I want to tell everybody, continue on staying healthy, safe, man. God bless you, man. Live your life. Enjoy your life. You only live once, you know what I'm saying? Love your people. Hug them sometime, you know what I'm saying? Tell them how much you appreciate them, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Apologize to everybody that's in the chat that you ain't here for me in the last two games. In case you don't know, I don't do no bum games.
No bum nights.
We were supposed to win that. All them games that we won in the preseason, we supposed to win that, so I'm not going to talk about that. But best believe, I'm ready for that Celtics. I'm ready to go. Come on over here. Wednesday night, ESPN. We highlighting the show. We setting it off, man. You know what I'm saying? Real early in the season. I ain't got no prediction on wins. My prediction is home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. So you already know that's top four up. That's my prediction right there. Mm-hmm. No numbers. Just playoff positions. That's my numbers. And I'm going to give y'all some breaking news right here real quick. Mm-hmm. But before that, I do that, anybody that come up, call up and spit any type of ball for CP and I like it, I'm going to tell them to grab your information and I'm going to email you a track. You'll get a chance to do a track. You know what I'm saying? With Jay Boogie. I got some things coming. Salute, 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 3 capital S.
Let's go. Throw some fives in the chat for Jay Boogie. Jay Boogie and Papa Left. Uh-oh. Collaborating on something.
Alright.
Let's go. Great call as usual. Yeah, he said he doesn't do the bum nights. I thought Friday night was gonna be a bum night. I took off. Bad mistake. big mistake.
Chat was looking for you.
I know, man. They thought I was dodging the smoke. They came at me crazy.
Yeah.
You know? I dropped my 46 wins and I ran out of there. I ran out of the chat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we definitely saw that.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what happened, man. You know, you were in the back room, and then Randall hit the shot, and you just disappeared. Crazy. We had to run the show together.
Crazy. And then somebody called me out. They was like, bro, and you did say that Randall was the last person you want taking the last shot. I definitely did say that. So freezing cold take once again. CP exposed, but I never run from the smoke. Never run from the smoke. Freezing cold take. As we did the most reliable shot episode, Randall was dead last in my book. But great job by him sealing the deal. And, yeah, fellas, we are getting closer to the day.
Who's the scoring high on Wednesday? And over under, Tatum, 37 points.
Scoring high for the game or for the Knicks?
No, well, scoring, who's the high scorer for the Knicks? and Tatum over under.
Yeah.
Let's go 36 points over under.
I still got to go Julius as the high. And I'll go 27, 28 for him. I think Tatum, I think he goes 35.
If this was 2K with me on the sticks, I would say Kemba Walker because of obvious reasons, but because it's real life, I think Julius Randle's going to set the tone. I'm with CP on that one. I'll go with like 25, 27. And I'm going to go on the under with Tatum. Slightly under. I think he's going to have a big game in his first game and prove a point.
Oh, man. Good, JD. Good.
No, I think Tatum the under. I mean, when you're playing these superstars, man, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to, you can only try to contain him. And that's even already difficult enough. But I think he gets around 31.
I like that. Yeah, 31.
I think he gets 31. Mm-hmm. And for the Knicks, I guess Randle's the easy answer, but yeah. You know, to me, Kemba's the dark horse with the whole, you know, storyline and home, and he might have a great game just off adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah,
I hope
with all the hype leading into it.
I just got to give Kemba and Fournier some time to gel and get some chemistry with these guys. So that's why I didn't pick them as yet. Saw some people down on Fournier early. I'm like, you know, you're crazy. You got to give him some time, man. It's only preseason. I saw him take some good looks in that last game against the Wizards. He just wasn't knocking down the shots, but he was still facilitating. You know, still playing hard. It'll be all right, man. Fournier will be all right. So we'll give him a chance to recover. But just wanted to show you guys something, man. On the Julius topic, for those of you that'll be joining us Wednesday at Mustang Harry's, somebody's going home with this bad boy. It's an autographed Julius Randle Most Improved Player basketball. As you guys know, man, no Fulton Street knockoffs, no foot tricks. Comes with the Fanatics Certificate of Authenticity, signed by number 30, Julius Randle himself. So don't sleep, man. This is why we tell you, man. You got to come through to a Knicks Fan TV production because somebody always goes home a winner, win or lose, man. So once again, appreciate my guys at Forzano Law for supporting the event. Go to ForzanoLaw.com for all your personal injury needs. If you guys have been injured in a car accident, construction accident, slip and fall, trip and fall, nursing home incident, my guys at Forzano Law will help you back on the road to monetary compensation. Call them up, 718-372-1397. Ask for Anthony or David. Tell them CP the Franchise sent you. Diehard Knicks fans, they'll take care of you. Or you can go in person, 271 Avenue U in Brooklyn, and that's one block away from the F train. So like I said, man, tomorrow we'll be at the Barnett Foundation event. We'll start off around 11 a.m., so lunchtime. Take some more of your calls. Call us up on the season. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll go from about 11 to 1, and then I'll wrap up again from about 4:30 to about 5:30. So definitely looking forward to you guys coming through. Make sure you guys come through for that. Let me salute to the rest of the Super Chats that came in. Hank Brezel says, I've seen Julius guard Kyrie, throw him on Tatum. Hank Brezel's ready to go. He's hyped. Eric Beat sends a super chat. Happy birthday, by the way, Eric. It was Eric's birthday yesterday. He says, thank you for all the birthday wishes yesterday. Let's get ready for Wednesday. I'll be there. Yeah, Eric's coming through with us. Owen A sends a super chat. $10 super chat. Appreciate it. King Matthew says, you're crazy if you think we're winning 43. Knicks are deep as hell, and you're giving us that number 48 to 54 wins to be exact. And 3-5 seed. Come on now. Hashtag 50 burger. And Robert Patterson to Super Chat says, Rooks are going to end up playing this year. Yeah, they certainly have a chance to, man. Certainly have a chance to. A couple more coming in before we sign out. Couple more Super Chats. The Rhyme Animal Chuck D's in the building sends a Super Chat. He says, no words left. We are all ready. Knicks Nation, let's go. Haitian Ferg sends a Super Chat. He says, whose mans is this? Ayton for Julius? Nah, bro. Ayton is a byproduct of CP3, New Age Tyson Chandler. Charlie sends two more Super Chats. He says, I want the basketball. He says, the sign ball. I want it. So Charlie's going to be there early. Charlie, are you rocking the Gorilla Soup on Wednesday? How are you coming through, man? I haven't seen you without it, so I don't know what you look like without the Gorilla Soup. Are you rocking the Gorilla Soup on Wednesday? Let us know, man. Leave a comment in the chat. And for everybody else, man, all 1,100, all 1,000, hit that thumbs up button one more time. Hit that like button for your boys. We'll see you tomorrow, man. We out of here. Oh, got that thing turned around. We out of here. Oh, there we go.
There it is.
There we go. Jeez. There we go. Yeah, man. All right. We out of here, man. Good show.